Previously on Quest Laid Plans. We are all gathered together at the home of Esther Mithian's sorcerer in the exurbs of the city of Skylark, the city of reflections, so named because every single building is full mirror. It's just light everywhere. And the other thing about it is that there's trees everywhere and plants that interweave between the buildings and through them and move with the buildings throughout the day to face the sun. The six of you have gathered here in anticipation of the Mithian's Gala, to which you are all invited as guests of honor, although it's not about you, it's about this huge announcement that is rumored to happen.
It's clear that we all don't really know how to tell people about what happened to Porla.
People know that she's gone. We need to say something.
People fight things that are weird all the time. I think it's fine to just be like, hey, we fought a monster, and in this combat, Porla disappeared, and we're not sure where she is.
Aveline, you open your eyes, you know you're having a vision. Admonition is walking alongside Chiron.
I definitely, like, quicken my pace and try and see if I can catch up with her and, like, grab her hand.
Well, you keep trying to catch up with them and you keep repeatedly falling. And every time you fall, you get a slightly better glimpse of this thing that you're tripping over, which it becomes clear to you over a series of stumbles and falls is a very, very long and wide serpent. And you can't tell where it's coming from, but it appears to just keep coming and go on forever. And then you wake up from your vision. Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am your Dungeon Master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are the five party members of this show who we are all going to go out to karaoke and they're all going to tell us what they're going to sing.
Hi, I'm Maya S. Ming. I play Winsta Palm, Air Genasi Gnome Rune Fighter, and I'm the one who didn't choose a song right before this prompt. So, of course, now I'm put on the spot to think of one right now. I guess I'll go with my Maya go-to song, which would be Stay by Rihanna.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
That's real good.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Arebolo. I play Kit Marpala, Water Genasi Monk, and my go-to karaoke song is Psycho Killer.
Oh. So good.
Hello, I am Jesse B. Kohler, playing your human boy, golden boy, singing all 8 minutes of American Pie Boy.
No.
Esther Mithian.
Jesse, no.
Sorcerer.
Oh my God.
Listen, you hate it in the beginning. You're a little annoyed as it goes along, but halfway through that song, you're all singing along and you're grateful for the experience.
I'm Jamie Rose Hathaway, playing Aveline Yevry Skywatcher, your Kalashtar Circle of Wildfire Druid. I would be living my 27 dresses fantasy and standing on a table doing Benny and the Jets.
Solid.
Oh, yeah.
Solid.
Incredible. And rounding this out, I am Nedamari Vocheva, playing Naraya Windsworn, your rogue wizard halfling. And I don't have a go-to karaoke song. I have a go-to karaoke playlist called Karaoke for Scorned Bitches. And the first five songs of that playlist make it seem like I'm a straight woman who just got broken up with. Because it goes, before he cheats, you ought to know, ironic, not ready to make nice, don't speak.
I mean, that is Naraya Core.
That is Naraya Core. Angry, ready to belt for shots.
But in the case of Naraya, it's more like beat you with a belt for shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of Brex's that you've borrowed.
Oh, of course.
My favorite song to sing at karaoke is Sweet Child of Mine, but it's kind of a double-edged sword because it has a lot of guitar solos where I have to, like, come up with fun things to say. And it's contrary to the fact that I DM this and I'm on a bunch of podcasts, I actually don't love having to come up with fun things to say on the spot. And I know you guys don't either, and yet we continue this intro bit.
Terrible. Let's play this game.
Let's improvise some more. You wake up, it's the morning of the gala. What do you do?
I think Esther has a like full spa day prepared for everyone of like getting ready.
Oh, wow. Get ready with me.
Get ready with me. Yeah, I think takes to like this lovely, I don't know, like mud spa in the morning. You know, the whole, like, the whole nine yards. There's one of those little, like, pools with the, like, rocks underneath that feel really nice to walk on. People get a massage. I think it's a full morning and afternoon of a lot of these ways of, like, relaxing and rejuvenating. And then Esther has hired some stylists for anybody that would want it for, like, a hair, makeup, you know, clothing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm gonna need everyone to do their full like Wattpad fanfic fantasy. Please tell me everything you're wearing and how you're styled for this gala right now.
Esther, are these the kinds of people that would how would they react to, you know, someone in simpler garb from a foreign land? Let's say, is that something that they would be really into or something that would cause me some trouble?
Well, there's a chance that some of them will be into it, but in a kind of like weird, they're too into it way.
Right.
So true. Is this conversation happening while we're all in the jacuzzi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're like fully in an onsen, like hanging out.
But Kit, I say you should wear exactly what you feel the most comfortable in.
Okay. I'll have to think about that.
The idea of comfortable makes Kit so uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Yes, weighing like comfort in familiarity versus comfort in strangers asking you a lot of questions.
I think Aveline brought with them what has been the nicest kind of drapey jumpsuit that they own, and was like, this is what I've worn to every wedding that I've been to, and I've like prestidigitated the color to change it to be black for funerals, and it's just the default. And then she sees the rack of clothes that Esther's stylist friends have pulled from their rented designer dress wardrobe situation, and I'm imagining that because we're in Skylark, there's a lot of like cool mirrory technology stuff, and Aveline just like puts the suit bag back in the wardrobe and is like, we're gonna go all out. I don't have the chance to be fancy very often, and this is provincial fancy, this is not city fancy, and I'm gonna spend some time browsing through the wheeled racks of shiny stuff. Also, assuming this is not a armor kind of gala.
You could wear your armor if you would like. I'm not sure, since we're coming in as heroes, I don't think they will have the audacity to make you, you know, check your weapons at the door. So if you're like, if it's part of the look, I think you can get away with wearing armor if you'd like.
Yeah, and I think I will say too, I think that there is a certain level of armor acceptability in just like what is considered stylish and fashionable in this world that would be weird in our world, but like because it's more of a thing that people wear doing their job as adventurers in this world, there's sort of fashion riffs on it in fancy clothes too.
I would like to go next.
I would like you to go next.
Naraya has gone all out for this. You know, in the movie Anastasia from 1997, you know when she goes to the opera and she's wearing this dark blue dress with the capelet? Mm-hmm. I just need this to be your visual reference for the capelet, which is attached to the back in two points and then just drapes gorgeously and is semi-transparent and sparkly. Naraya is wearing a dark burgundy dress, which is just, you know, strapless. It's like a heavy, expensive satin.
It has a very high slit on the left side, basically all the way up. You can see that her thighs are as pale and freckled as the rest of her, or the one that you can see. She's wearing like knee-high boots under this dress, because of course she is. They're strappy and there's just like a lot of belting that's happening there. And then there is a very wizardry looking capelet, which is Anastasia-like in its sparkle and the way it drapes. Her hair has grown out a little bit in the past 2 or so months. She has it braided up in a bunch of elaborate wizard-looking like braids. For the figure skating fans out there, it's giving full Amber Glenn. Big, chunky, golden jewelry. Big gold, like, earrings and everything. And she looks gorgeous. She is, for once, not wearing, like, smudged eyeliner. It's full, like, burgundy lips. Beautiful. It's very... I mean, like Aveline said, we don't get the chance to do this often. And full advantage is being taken.
So... I think after Kit considers the advice, he basically half weighs it. And what that means is that he takes his, like, sort of monk top and tucks it in to his pants and, like, pulls them up. And then he sort of looks at himself in the mirror and thinks, you know, how can I look more normal? And he, like, takes off his headband. And then, you know, goes on his way. But what he doesn't realize is that he has a water, like a tan line going like all the way across his head. No! But he has no idea. He has no idea.
Oh my God.
Esther has gotten this golden sort of like mascara all around his eyes. And it kind of like goes back in a way going up onto his forehead, like a very big number. And he's taken his hair and it's slick. It's sort of, it's like normal middle part kind of falling down. It's like slicked all the way back in that like really cool way where it's like, it looks like it's like wet, you know, like kind of like Trinity Matrix vibe. So it's like back like that. And then he's wearing this kind of like white sort of, not like a vest, but like kind of that formation, like it just like goes down. It like, they're showing off some belly button, you know, showing off a little of the chest. It's just like kind of an X piece. And then it goes into, I guess it's a pantsuit. I guess I'm describing a pantsuit. It goes into these long flowing white pants. And like on the whole thing, there's these like really faint, like silver lines that are like weaving all over the entire outfit. So like as Esther walks in the sun, it sort of like sparkles, like different parts of the outfit sparkle and move.
I really respect Esther for being like, I'm gonna go full slut to the finish party.
He is so valid for this.
Who among us has not done this?
I did this earlier today, bestie.
I got to do karaoke one time.
And sometimes you sing Sondheim's Being Alive for 12 hours straight, and then you wake up and you decide it is your time to be a slut.
It is my time.
Yeah. You're just describing college.
Okay. Incredible. I would say that Windswip would definitely want to bring some type of like armor. I think that, you know, in previous fancy events, she's had some kind of dressy looking armor. This one, I imagine, would just take it to the next level. We're talking Zendaya Met Gala, Joan of Arc inspired,
yes,
armor dress. Just like with the kind of more like gold and white and like a little bit somewhere. Yeah, I think maybe she's got like an undershirt, just sort of some kind to get her pink in, matches her hair. She touches up the hair for that perm-ish look again. And yeah, that's sort of what she has decided to rock. And it's so much, it is probably the fanciest, dressiest thing that anybody has ever seen Windswip in. And so she also is a little bit like, oh, does this work? Is this like a little too much, you know, kind of thing? And I think that dress that inspired it has a very long train, so she probably did away with the long train because she didn't want to trip over it. But other than that, yeah, just that's what she's she's got.
I think Aveline ends up picking like a kind of wide leg sort of palazzo pants style jumpsuit. It's green leaves, but they're the fantasy textile, so depending on the way the light hits them, some of them look like leaves and some of them look like flames, and it's like a kind of shimmery, like the whole thing is made up of these, rather than being like one solid piece of fabric, it's like sewn together almost like a kind of scale mail effect, but with this kind of like shimmery fabric jumpsuit with like a deep V-neck, one of those tops that is like actually kind of just two scarves attached onto the palazzo pants, and the braid is tightened up and the gold jewelry is polished, and I think she druid crafts some little flowers and stuff to be in the braid, and it's just very ethereal forest vibes, but also boots, because like Nariah, Aveline never takes off her boots, and I think she tries to get to see if the fashion people will, or maybe it needs to be prestidigitation because of the fire, but I really want Addy, if I'm summoning her, to have like a little collar that is like the same material as the dress.
God.
Oh, aww. They can do that. I'm paying them enough to fucking find a way to do that.
Can you make a flame retardant collar for this dick dick?
Of course.
Kind of weird I even had to ask, but.
This is a little awkward, but Brex comes out of the changing room and is wearing the exact same ensemble to a T as Nariah.
That's fine.
Same hair, makeup, everything.
That's beautiful. Let's go.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not changing, and you're not. No.
Well, I'm not changing.
No, I'm fine with this.
Oh, right, yeah, fuck it. And then Brex like throws on his coat, his furry, disgusting, bloody coat over it.
I link arms with them. We're ready.
It was cleaned at the beginning of season one, but it's somehow bloody again.
I think as we link arms, it's just like a very subtle, because it is like you got to touch the thing. We link arms and I just do like a, you look very beautiful, and I just prestidigitate a bunch. So it smells nice at least.
I definitely also like walk past and like pop my hand on Brex's arm and cast mending. And I feel like there's an audible sound of some of the seams like restitching.
Oh yeah, like
important question. Yes, absolutely. Does Brex also have the capelet thing under the coat?
I think actually Brex removes the capelet so that he can put the coat on. I think he realizes it would be like hat on a hat and uncomfortable.
See, now we're not matching. It's all good.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, we all look amazing. This is going to be really fun, I promise. And I've been thinking about this. And the last time we were all together that weekend, we were around a lot of people who we wanted to like us, right? Like we were trying to have nice interactions. And so with all of these people, fuck them. There's no reason to have a nice interaction with any of them. And honestly, that'll make them like you even more. So for once, I invite you all to go into this situation with zero fucks to give. And actually, it's an invitation to find that little bitch inside. And then Esther does a 3-point turn, grabs a bottle of Prosecco, and walks out the door.
What come to these things?
What? I don't understand.
Well, I think if you all follow Esther, you would find that outside waiting is, in fact, a special stagecoach for all of you to carry you into the city so you don't have to take public transit and your designer outfits. Not that it's not sparkling clean, but still, you know, you want to make an appearance.
I think I just am rendered speechless as I get into the stagecoach. Just a lot of, like, exchanging baffled looks with the rest of the party, like, what?
I think there's, in addition to that, I think Winston and Kit end up sitting next to each other and there's a little bit of like awkward bumping around, just like, oh, sorry. Like, you know, like that kind of thing as they get comfortable and just like, yeah, hey.
Hi. Yeah.
Yep. Going to a party with our friends. Excited. You look good.
Thanks. I really tried to match the vibe. It's really what I tried to do.
And meanwhile, the two of you are giving, like, that meme of Ed Sheeran and Beyonce.
Like, she's everything. He's just kids.
Incredible. Oh,
no. I need somebody immediately to take the official art and do the she's everything. He's just Ken, but then he's just Kit. That we can drop that.
This Barbie is a
roommate. So that we can drop that on
this
social
Barbie
media.
Can get so big.
This Barbie loves pink. This Barbie can get so big.
All right, so you all hop into the stagecoach, I presume. You head off down the path into the downtown of the city. And you're able to see it from the streetcar, of course, but in the open air of the stagecoach. Is that what a stagecoach not open air? It's an open air carriage. I'm sorry, I'm not a horse carriage expert.
It's like one of the fancy carriages that people will sit in, like when they're going to get married.
Yeah, like we learned last season that horse can be a lot of things. Horse carriage can also be a lot of things. So as you make your way down the road, you find that it sort of transitions from dirt road to kind of more cobblestones. And as you get closer into the city, you find a lot of the road is actually wood, which you would have noticed just from hanging out around and about the city anyway. But it's especially noticeable now that you're, you know, hearing the clip-clop of the hooves on the different materials. But yeah, a lot of the city's roads are actually like really, really large tree roots that have been sort of either sanded down a little bit to be flat or built on top of. And those are sort of like the main ways on which people travel. And you get an up close and personal look at all of the different streetcars whizzing by of, you know, various signs switching and flashing. And as you get further and further downtown, you notice that things start being a little bit quieter and a little bit more deserted. And you get the feeling that something big is happening, right? And then as you turn the corner around to the Miffiance building, you see that this is where everybody is. There is a massive red carpet. There are reporters lined up, flashbulbs going off, people getting out of carriages and streetcars and arriving on crazy giant beasts, just like the event of the winter, I suppose it is. It is pretty chilly, but you also notice as you arrive that things are quite warm, and you see lots of little space heaters lit up all around, surrounded by tree branches and things wound around them. And you are in this procession line, pretty much. It's almost like you're in like an impromptu parade to try and get to the entrance of this red carpet. And when you finally step out, everything goes silent. And then there is a pandemonium of questions of, Kit, what are you wearing? No, what the hell are you wearing? And where's Porla? And how do you feel about what happened 2 months ago? And Esther, are you happy to be home? And why did you bring your friends? And where's Porla? And what the hell is on your face?
So I...
That's not to anyone in particular. We're not really sure who that's for or what it's referring to, but it just...
I think when faced with the question, what are you wearing? Kit just says, a shirt. That's all he said.
He just yells out a shirt.
Esther is going to use the message cantrip on everyone one at a time and say, just don't acknowledge them. Just smile, wave, pose. Repeat, just walk through the red carpet. It'll be quieter on the inside.
I think Naraya approaches this with like absolute like stone faced, fully ignoring all of their questions, not smiling. There's just like a very supermodel of the world kind of, yeah, I'm here. You're welcome to look, but like I'm not engaging kind of thing.
Ooh, that's good. Kit, do that. Do that. Be Naraya.
I think Kit, while the message is coming in, is sort of taken up, you know, he answers the shirt question. Are there people, aside from reporters and photographers, who are just trying to, like, touch and shake hands kind of thing there as well?
I think there's a fair amount of security keeping that sort of thing away, actually.
Well, I guess he's in the process of, like, he thought he heard a question from someone and wanted to, like, hear it better, so he starts walking over. And then hears the message from Esther and just stops. He doesn't even walk back. He just stops and waits for everyone to come like towards him.
Okay, Esther walks over to Kit, puts like an arm on his shoulder, and is like, "Hi, hello, thank you." And then like moves Kit along with him.
I think Windswip brings up the rear and has one hand kind of over her eyes because there's so many flash bulbs going off, I assume. And she's also trying to just like, she's like waving as friendly as she can, but she can't see anybody. So she's just sort of like, hi, hi, hi. Yeah, I can't see. I'm sorry. I can't see you. I can't hear you. I don't know. And she kind of gets like turned around, I think a little bit, and trying to find her way. And then she finds herself facing the stagecoach again. She's like, wait, hold on. I think I'm supposed to go somewhere. Does anybody know? Okay. And she just starts like wandering. Aww. Eventually she finds her way back.
Aveline notices that like Windswip is not with the party and like does a little scan around and then sends Addy to go and find you.
Oh, God bless. Yeah. She sees Addy a lot more clearly and is just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I gotta go, everyone. I'll answer questions inside, I think. I don't know. And then just like...
Yeah, and I think Addy's appearance also kind of stirs up a flurry of excitement as well. It's like, oh, there's the Dick Dick. Up at the front, Naraya and Brex arm in arm leading the way, stone-faced. A reporter says, Brex, where did you get this coat? Tell us about this coat. And he goes, you did, left it at my house last night. And they just continue on. Esther, is Fink with you at all?
No, I think, poignantly, Esther is terrified of Fink appearing in her, let's say, less presentable state, so is not showing.
All right, well, you not, I guess not without terrible incident, make your way towards the entrance of the Miffiance building. Esther, you've been here many times. The rest of you, I don't think, would have been here ever, and more so than the other buildings, even in this like center downtown district. You know, many of the buildings are composed of varying sizes of panes of mirror glass. The Miffiance building is unique in that it is all one pane of mirror, the entire skyscraper. It's an absolute remarkable feat of innovation. And it's pretty unadorned, except for around the entrance, you see this sort of archway of ivy with the ivy leaves showing Miffiance Gala today as you enter these large double doors. They are held open for you by, Orlando's not there because he works for you, but, you know, other household staff that you recognize, Esther. And as the doors open and you enter, you are met with almost even, somehow even more sunlight than was outside. This place is, you can see from the inside, like all window. It's all like one-way mirror. And so on the inside, it just feels like a giant greenhouse. There's greenery everywhere. And as far as you can see, it's very open. As soon as you walk in, you are ushered to another archway of ivy that is actually almost like a tunnel. Like it's like an archway with a fair amount of depth. It's like a tunnel hallway thing that you're ushered to and invited to go through by the staff.
Do I know, like, where this tunnel leads to? Or is this new?
Give me a perception check.
Come on.
I don't know my own home. That'll be a dirty 20. There we go.
Finally.
Nice. You do know your own home.
Nice.
You know that this is sort of a temporary installation inside of, like, just a larger open, like, atrium foyer situation. Like, a ground floor of, like, a fairly open, almost, like, not exactly a convention center, but just, like, a really open floor. And so you assume it would probably just lead to like a more central area on this floor where like, you know, you've seen them do kind of quirky things with temporary rooms and curtains and things for these galas before. So you assume it's probably decorative and it's just leading into like, you know, the main room where everybody wants to make an appearance.
Okay. I think this is the way.
Was that good? Was that good? Did we...
That was amazing.
Red carpet, good?
Perfect. Perfect. How do you feel?
That was a lot of people.
I don't love this.
And I couldn't even start telling any of the things that we said we would talk about because I couldn't even hear anybody. And I'm pretty sure they couldn't hear me. So we haven't really given a statement yet. I don't know if we were supposed to.
No,
we're
going to
do it.
Not to them. That's just tabloid reporters. They don't care.
Okay. Cool.
As you enter this archway of ivy, you see once you're inside the ivy all around you light up as like one big continuous screen. and it starts to play video. You hear sort of emotional, inspirational music, and you see appear footage of sort of a middle-aged woman with golden hair. And the footage is sort of washed out and grainy in a way that you all kind of understand to be movie code for this is old footage, but you aren't really sure why they do that. It just is like a cinematic convention. It's like she's sitting to be interviewed, but it's like the interview hasn't started yet. She's getting her makeup done. Someone's adjusting some sort of like microphone on her blouse. Somebody's adjusting some lighting. And you hear from off screen,
could you start by telling us a little bit about the early days of Mythian's Industries?
And the woman interrupts and she says,
Mythian's family industries. It's the family that's most important to MFI, not the Mythians. Let's get that straight.
The picture fades to a more current, vivid kind of style of footage. And you see across the bottom of the screen the name Eleanor Mythians. And you see a man who looks a lot like Esther, but a lot more exhausted and a little bit less golden and a little bit less shiny. And he also has a dumb beard. It says underneath his sort of talking head video footage, it says Eleanor Mythians, CEO. He says, that clip of my mother has become so notorious, so iconic. It really captures her perfectly, and it captures the ethos of the company. We really do put family first, and when we say family, we mean the entire city of Skylark. That's our family. There's now a photo and clip montage of, you know, old photos of the Mythians family. There's Electra and her two sons and her daughter. They're eating ice cream in the park. They're smiling by the water. They're posing in her office. It's these happy memories. You recognize one of these little boys, you know, the middle-sized one, as a tiny Esther missing some teeth. And then the picture changes to a younger woman with dark hair, and the name on the bottom reads Elysian Chambers Mythian, COO. As a little girl growing up in Skylark, I always knew I wanted to be just like Electra Mythians when I grew up. She was powerful, yes, but she also took care of her city. There's this great quote I love from the old world author Stephen King, with great power comes great responsibility. I think Electra really understood that, and it has been such an honor to join this family and to take their incredible legacy of service into the future. It is at this point that we hear voiceover of Esther's voice. It's kind of choppy and edited weird. You get the sense it might have been taken out of context. And it's shown over sort of like a magical factory assembly line of these like gadgets that incorporate, you know, leaves and vines, but also arcane technology and crystals and wires and all sorts of things that look very advanced, and all of the factory workers look extremely happy as we hear awkwardly edited voiceover of Esther that says,
through our partnership with Radioptica
and their
incredible leaps forward
in
photo synergy
technology,
Skylark
is ready for
tomorrow.
It then cuts to an older man who, it underneath it says, Enzo Mifian's CFO. He says,
it's hard to imagine a life in Skylark without photo synergy. It touches everything. Transportation, communication, entertainment, the very survival of our community. And here at MFI, we think that's worth investing in.
We now see an animation, and the voiceover of Eleanor plays over this animation. The animation shows, it's kind of like this rudimentary, like, old school kind of science diagram type thing of, it shows sunlight shining down from the sun, bouncing off of a big mirrored building, and then onto a leaf. And then the light travels through the leaf's veins, and then underground through its roots, and then into the roots of another tree and up through the tree, and the tree is part of the home of a nice family who's sitting and watching a moving image on a leaf together after dinner. And the voiceover of Eleanor says,
the same arcana tech that allows the flora of Skylark to share the solar energy they gather with us is now enhancing everyone's lives and strengthening the community.
Cut back to Elysian.
I remember when I was very young, we didn't have all these remarkable possibilities for imaging through plants. When my family got our first vine speller, I was like 13, I think, and man, that was the peak of cool. I couldn't imagine being more advanced than that. I mean, plants could move and spell out words with their vines, but now, of course, with the optical venation technology, that seems like child's play. We now see a montage of images of road signs, streetcar schedules, building marquees, movie nights in the park, children watching a bedtime story fairy tale on a little flower in a pot while they're tucked into bed. We close with Eleanor saying, "A community that grows and thrives alongside the ecosystem, not at the expense of it, that's Skylark. That's our home. And Miffian's Family Industries is proud to keep propelling that home forward into a sustainable and exciting future for all of us." And you find yourselves at the end of the tunnel.
And is this just like looping? Do we get the sense that...
Yep. Oh yeah, okay. You hear people enter it behind you and you hear the beginning again.
Hey everybody, it's me, Megan. How is everyone doing? I'm doing better. I want to thank everybody for your patience as we've taken longer than usual to get this episode out. And by we, I mean I. It's my fault. I was sick. And also, this was an incredibly, shall we say, like, ambitious and challenging edit that I wanted to really, like, put the effort into and be able to work on it when I was, like, well and not, you know, mucinexed out of my mind. So I'm really excited to finally share that with y'all. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you continue to enjoy it. I just wanted to give you a few little announcements and reminders. First off, the usual stuff. Check out our social media links in the bio. Check out our website, questladeplans.com. You can also find on the website a link to join our Discord, where we chat about every episode and also dumb memes and stuff, obviously. Secondly, I want to draw your attention to our new art that we have had done for this season and we can finally release, as it depicts our party on the red carpet at the Miffian Scala Gala. I don't know how you say that. Anyway, the art was done by the incredible Aki, who is on Twitter at akinomi_art, and that's with two I's at the end of Akinomi. But you know what? The best way is to just look in the show notes and click a link. Anyway, she is an incredible artist, so much fun to work with, and, you know, commission her. She's great. She's the best. I also had the privilege of playing alongside her because recently I was on an episode of Last of Eden's Vices, which is a Vampire the Masquerade game by the amazing folks over at Goblets and Gaze. I was so lucky that they had me as a guest on one of their episodes. And it's a lot of fun. And Aki is a regular cast member in that alongside some absolutely amazing folks. So please check them out if you go to youtube.com/@goblets and gaze or go to their Twitter and, you know, follow their links. So I'm in episode 3. It's called Blood on Our Hands, but you really should just start from the beginning and catch up because it's a great story with great characters. And yeah, that was just like, I was very starstruck to get to be on that show. It was really fun. So check it out, please, if you want. And finally, I want to shout out a cool thing that Netta is doing. I don't know why I sang their name. Netta and their writing partner Acho have released a brand new tabletop RPG through DriveThruRPG as part of their Pocket Quest event that they do every year. Netta and Acho last year released Moda Intergalactica, and now their new game is called Double Down, which is not just a delicious KFC sandwich. It is also an incredible two-player TTRPG. It's currently on sale through the remainder of the month of April for $4.99. It's usually $7.99. And if you buy it, which you should also rate it and review it, because everybody deserves to know how amazing this game is. The art is so cool. The writing is so cool. It's really fun. So check that out. If you go to DriveThruRPG's website and you search Double Down, and the cover is like two people with playing cards and blood spraying everywhere. So it's very cool. And you will recognize it by that iconic image. That game is also released under the umbrella of the Metaphorical Studio, so we're just, like, so lucky to have cool people to work with to release tabletop RPG games as well as audio content and all that good stuff. So anyway, thank you to all of you for making that possible. And if you want to continue to help us, you can check out our Patreon. Again, we have links in the show notes. And that is about it, I think. I'm excited to just share the rest of the episode with you, so I hope you enjoy. Bye!
Were you related to all those people, Esther?
Yeah, everyone except, Elysian, who I don't even know. She was Kira when I knew her, so I don't know what this new, name change is.
Is it because all of the E names? Is she fitting in?
It's probably the E name thing. That's Eleanor, Elysian's my sister-in-law, and Eleanor is that's my older brother, and that was my my uncle up there too, and yeah, I never said that thing that you all heard me say, so
nor.
Thanks, Rex.
Did you ever talk about being ready for tomorrow or Radioptica or any of that?
I mean, I'm sure I said all those words at some point, somehow they got it. They recorded it. I mean, Photosynergy I know about, clearly they've all been hard at work developing it to be even better, I suppose.
It is weird how they can make something that's objectively gorgeous and very sustainable and, I guess, nice sound so fucking sinister. All due respect.
Yeah, that's that Miphian's charm that only we can do.
It's literally, hey, there's trees and sunlight, and I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
No offense again, your family seems lovely.
Oh, they're not. They're really bad people.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I figured.
As you feel the people who were entering behind you, they're staggering the entrances so that everyone can sort of watch the video, but they're kind of nearing the end. You hear Esther's awkward, choppy thing, and you realize they're coming up behind you and you're kind of clogging the entryway. And also realizing this is a waiter who comes over with a tray of drinks and sort of invites you to step aside and offers you cocktails that are like very fancy and all different colors, but all contain these like absolutely gorgeous different floral garnishes.
Okay, let's go.
You are not fey or anything, right? Like I can drink your family's cocktails?
Yeah.
Like this is just booze. This isn't like mind control booze.
No.
I'm not gonna start speaking in sound bites if I have one of these.
No, they're not gonna drug everybody. They're smart.
Photosynergy?
Brex takes a sip and is like, oi, we better circle the wagons. Got to get this bull rolling down the hill. Really, touch base with each other about the chair
circle
holders.
Back? We got to circle back?
Yeah, circle back, yeah.
Esther, you just said they're not going to poison they're not going to something everyone. They're smart, which implies they would just do it to a select few people. You're not filling me with confidence here, bud.
It's the Miphian's charm.
Yeah. That's true. I did say that. And the implication was the implication.
Oh, Kester.
Someone's going to record you saying that and use that in, like, a legal proceeding for this family one day. Like, just knowing what we know about them.
There's 8,000, like, little butterflies around, which are actually all bugs recording every conversation.
Oh, no. Betrayed by the butterflies.
Hey, Esther. Give me a perception check.
Oh my god. Again?
That'll be a 17.
You look down into your drink, and just as you're about to take a sip, you notice that the floral garnish sprouts a little leaf. And on the leaf, it's really, really, really small. and you just see the word in kind of like fancy script written out on the, it turns into a screen, and you see in kind of fancy little script written out the word coat check for just a second, and then it goes away and the leaf kind of wilts.
Mm. Okay. Esther downs the drink and, yeah, I think tries to maybe make his way in the sort of like commotion of we're like in this hall. I think Esther's going to try to slip away by himself over to coat check.
Cool. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Everybody else, presuming that you, well, what would you do? You could, I mean, I guess you could see if you notice Esther leave and try and join, or you could just, you know, how would you mingle at this party? Who are you talking to? What are we doing? What are we looking around? How do we approach this situation now that we have drinks?
Well, are there, I know it's kind of said as a joke, but are there butterfly motifs around?
I think there are, yeah. I think that it's not necessarily like religious imagery, but I think that the Mithiances do sort of openly worship aspiration, and that it's possible that rather than any sort of like, you know, religious imagery, like I think that they would just sort of acknowledge that by having there be like actual butterflies kind of flitting among the various flower arrangements that are decorating the hall.
Especially if the house is kind of like a greenhouse vibe, then just having some actual real life butterflies around seems normal.
Yeah, like there's enough of them that you get the feeling that it was intentional and not just like a bug got inside.
I mean, Winston, also her family has also followed aspiration, and I think she's just looking for anything here that is like familiar and interesting. So she's just gonna do that thing where she just like, she stays in wherever the friend group is clumping right now. She's gonna stay with the clump. She's holding the cocktail that she picked up, but she's not drinking it. She's just like holding it to look like she belongs. And meanwhile, it's just kind of like checking out the butterflies and just, yeah, I think she's just trying to disappear, I guess, a little.
Yeah, and I think as you approach, a little orange butterfly kind of flies up off a flower and lands on the flower in your drink.
Oh, well, that's so nice. Hi. I don't actually get to see a lot of butterflies where I'm from, but hello. I don't know why I'm talking to a butterfly right now, but you seem like preferable company to the people around us.
It kind of flutters its wings a little.
Well, thank you. I feel a little bit blessed.
Why don't you take one inspiration? Okay. I feel like there's something nice about seeing a sign.
Yes. Yeah, she takes a deep breath. It's like, okay, I can get through this. We can get through this.
An aspiration inspiration.
Aww.
Anybody else want to do anything?
Yeah.
Explore, socialize?
As we like kind of clump together. All right, well, this might be past trauma talking, but I don't trust any of this. I don't know what this, like, stay safe? This should be safe, but I'm gonna go look around. And I'm gonna, like, give Winswip and Eveline like a little tap on the arm both, and I'm gonna peel off and just circle around the perimeter, just like doing the thing you do when you're at an event, you know, carrying my drink, nodding at people, and fucking trying to clock anything that looks even a little weird, actively scoping this entire joint.
All right. Do you want to make a check for that?
I would love to make a check for that. I don't know if that'd be a perception or you tell me.
Are you looking for something specific, or if not, just do perception?
Weird looking people. Anyone who looks shifty. Anyone who looks on edge.
I think that's perception for me.
All right. 25.
Jesus Christ. I think that among the sea of fancy faces that you just have absolutely no recognition of, you are able to pick out a familiar one pretty quickly, and that would be across the room, kind of on the far side, but a little bit off to the side. You see what it looks like from the video, Eleanor and Elysian off in kind of bowed heads conversation. She's like probably like a head taller than he is, so her head's kind of bowed. And it looks like they're having some kind of heated conversation, or like she's having some kind of heated conversation and he's just sort of like head down nodding.
I am going to very casually, just mingling, wander in that direction. I'm trying to eavesdrop, but not taking up any like magical means of concealing myself or anything. Just kind of just curious for now.
Well, what would be a, I mean, I'm thinking you got a 25 perception. I think that as you get closer, you can hear the tail end of her whispering like, this is not what we discussed. Absolutely not. End of question. And then before she can say anything else, you see these two little blonde kids run up to them. They're like toddlers. They're little. They're like 2 or 3. They look to be about the same age. They're dressed exactly the same. And they run by and they're like, mommy, mommy. And then they keep running. And she goes, eucalyptus, echinacea, come back here.
What the fuck are those?
Oh, dear Lord.
All right. I am going to just hover in this general vicinity for a little bit. I'm keeping, like, very much keeping an eye out, A, for shifty people, but B, just trying to make sure I know where the rest of my party is at all times. But I'm just going to stay there and be chill and casual and cool and sip my cocktail and continue to try to eavesdrop.
Cool. All right, who else?
I would love to make a nature check on some of these plants, because they seem like real plants, like the flowers in our drinks, our garnishes, like they should be real plants, but also they're screens, and I don't know enough about Arcana tech stuff to understand this, but as a kind of fish out of water druid in the big city, trying to learn a little bit more about what's going on with these plants, in air quotes.
Sure, give me a nature check.
That is a natural one, which becomes a 6, but
you feel confused. You are pretty certain that they're real. It doesn't make sense to you that they're real, but like you are pretty sure they're real. And that's about all you can get out of your examination of them. I think you're perplexed as a druid because you're so used to, you know, nature as nature, like as it is in its raw form. And so the idea of it being like alive, but also something else is just so like, it's kind of breaking your brain. Like you can't figure out how it would work.
This place is weird, huh, Eveline?
Super weird. I mean, at least that butterfly looks real.
Yeah, no, I think it is really pretty in here. I think it's prettier and more natural than I thought this gala was going to be. And I do really like seeing the butterflies. It gives me a good feeling inside. But yeah, there's something a little off. But I don't know. I sort of assume that is just because it's a party with all these fancy rich people and they know what's going on. And I don't know what's going on.
It's fun to, you know, get dressed up like this. But I'd kind of love to just wear this outfit and like go do more karaoke, you know?
That would be so fun. Where did Esther go?
That's a very good question. But first I want to check in with Kit. Do you want to do anything before we cut over to Esther?
I think the only thing that Kit would sort of do is I think he's staying with the clump, but looking and listening around to see if he can catch any snippets of conversation related to, you know, rumors about our party and like whether people have clocked us and that sort of thing.
Cool. Give me a perception check.
All right. That's a nat 1.
Oh my God.
We're doing great, Phil.
No, never mind. Sorry. That's a 7, which is still bad. It's a 9.
The 7. Again, the 7s.
7.
It's hard for you to make out any individual conversations. I think especially with the way that the sound reverberates in this room, mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard to like pick out specific things. And so you actually don't notice it when Elysian comes back from sort of chasing her kids and across the way spots Naraya and is like, Naraya Windsworn, Elysian Chambers Miffiance, I've heard a lot about you. I'm Esther's sister-in-law, so you know. Esther, your party mate.
Yeah, no, I know who Esther is. Pleasure to meet you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for coming. Can I assume the rest of the party is here?
Oh, yeah, we're all around.
All of you?
Yes. Everyone who could be here is here. And thank you so very much for the invite.
Give me some sort of, I almost want you to roll intimidation or something. I don't know
you
if that's exactly
me.
Right,
is
but
is this intimidation or deception?
I don't know. You tell me, like, are you, you
I
can,
mean,
I'll let
very
you choose.
Nice. I mean, it's the same bonus, so I'm going to give you intimidation.
14?
She looks at you for a second, and then she's like...
I'm having to look up so far up to make eye contact with her.
It's true, she's very tall, and she's wearing heels. She looks down, and she's like, well, that's fantastic news. We're really, really pleased to have the heroes of Horizon Fall here, and goodness, we'll have to come up with another new name for you now that you're heroes once again. But if you'll excuse me, I have a lot of people I need to speak to. We'll talk later. I love your dress.
Well, I'm sure we will. And I just, like, kind of raise my glass and wander off before she can leave this conversation first.
Esther, you find your way to where you know the coat check is. And as you enter, you find that it's empty and that there's nobody there, which is not crazy. I mean, you know, it's the coat check person could be smoking weed outside or whatever, in the bathroom, any number of things. But after a moment, you see a figure step out from behind the coats. And this person is your sister. And you would know her anywhere, even though you haven't seen her since... Probably, if you've seen her since your mom died, it's been very briefly. And I don't think you would have seen her in the last, like, 5 years or so. So she's now, like, early 20s. And so last time you saw her, she would have been a teenager. She looks a little bit different. She's a little taller. Her face is a little rounder. She looks a little bit more grown up. She has the same golden hair as you, but it is kind of braided in this, like, very elaborate updo with all of these, like, vines and tendrils, like, braided in through her hair. It almost looks like it's part of her hair, and there's all these flowers in her hair, and they're kind of flashing different colors. And she has this beautiful green dress on that complements the flowers, and it's all very much a look. She's just as decked out as you are, if not more so. And... her flowers and her hair form sort of like a laurel flower crown situation across her forehead. And she looks at you and she smiles. And you see the leaves on the flower crown flatten out across her forehead, creating sort of a small strip of flat surface. And you see it light up into a screen and it says, "Hi, Esther."
"Hey, Esme. How are you?"
"I see you still have a nice sense of humor. My name is Alyssa, but nice to see you too." Yeah. You see this all written out in her her handwriting. And she says, "Although I'm pretty much going by Lys these days because Elysian kind of picked a name that was basically just exactly my name, that
yeah,
bitch.
I know.
So
what's up with that?"
"Yeah. Stupid. Anyway, Lys is fine."
"Lys?"
"Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see it. You see all of this is like going across her forehead like super titles. Like she's not saying this out loud. And so you can see it spelled out. It's L-I-S.
L-I-S. Is this way of communicating a new thing?"
"Give me an insight check."
"I think for some reason, I remember that I think I have advantage on insight." "Yes, I do."
"I think you do too."
"From the quiet year." "Okay, so with advantage, that'll come out to a 16.
"Okay. So you know that she has never really talked. She's not really a talker.
Mm.
Communicating via written word, sign, you know, even like you've seen her use some kind of like photosynergy technology in this way before, not quite this complicated, but that's not totally foreign to you.
Right.
There's a sense that you're getting that there is like a new component to this that did not exist before, and it's almost like you feel like you've just got a really solid sense of her tone. Like it's almost like you're getting like vibes. So it's not just like reading, it's like subliminal tone indicator mm-hmm. is like the best way I would say to describe it. And you're not really sure like where that's coming from, but it's definitely external, like coming to you. It's not like you, Esther, like reading somebody's intention through text.
Right, right. Lys. That fits you.
It's not an E name, but
it can be kind of nice, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. So how you been?
Oh, you know, just perfect, really. No complaints.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. Where have you been?
I've been here. Where have you been?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here and traveling as well, trying to, you know, do more projects outside of Skylark. You know anything about the big reveal of tonight?
God damn it. No, I invited you here to ask if you knew.
Oh, yeah. Was that you last night?
Oh, at karaoke? Yeah, that was a beautiful rendition of Being Alive. I didn't know you were still so into Sondheim, but I shouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that you, so you've known about the karaoke?
Yeah, I'm friends with Nico.
Oh, you're friends with Nico. Great, great. So...
Anyway, I was just messing with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You were maybe a little too drunk to get the joke, but it was funny for me.
Okay, good. So... Yeah, no, I have no idea what the reveal of tonight is.
Okay, well, that's weird. They didn't talk to you at all about anything?
No, I haven't checked in with Elnor or Elysian yet.
God, that must be so weird.
It's good. It's all good. It's cool.
Okay, you are not as good of a liar as you think you are, but... That's fine. You can pretend everything's fine. We're very good at that in this family, aren't we?
Yeah.
Did you like the video?
Yeah, really great. I've always wondered what it would sound like for me to say that sentence because, you know, I've never said it. So it was really thrilling to see that happen. Was that your handiwork?
Oh, no, they didn't even ask me to be in it, which I didn't want to be in it. I would never be in it. But right. I kind of wanted to say no. I had a whole, like, really cutting rebuttal prepared, something along the lines of, you know, Eleanor, everything you say is way... No, hold on. Let me start over. You see her, like, like typing and then backing up because she's like, okay, obviously I didn't think this through 100% because it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's okay.
Something along the lines of, Eleanor, everything you say is absolute nonsense and everyone wishes you would shut up all the time. Having somebody who doesn't speak next to you could only be an unflattering comparison.
That would have been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he would have gotten it, but again, it would have been funny for me.
Right, right. So you haven't been, you've been here, but have you been working with the company?
Sort of. Yeah, at least for the past couple years, you know, I went to school and I did an extended research internship at Radioptica. And then last year or so, they've had got me the head of R&D, which is a great way for them to sort of tuck me away and not make me make any important decisions. But I'm kind of okay with it because, I mean, you know, I've always been more into building stuff than whatever horseshit they get up to.
Right, right, right.
And it is very cool, isn't it?
What?
All of it. She gestures around to all of the plants, to her flower crown that's serving as the communicator. I mean,
yeah,
all of it.
It is. I'm sure Mom would be really, really proud.
I don't know. I'm not sure Mom ever really cared about what I did. One time she told me, you're a Miffian's woman. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And like, I think she meant it in a nice way.
Yeah.
But I think that what she really meant was you don't have to do anything.
No. Mom? No, she was always looking for the next find. She was trying to do everything.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'm only trying to do one thing, and that's make dope shit out of plants. So
cool.
I guess if you don't know what's going on, then we should probably head back to the party because we don't want to miss the big announcement.
Right, yeah, of course, the big announcement.
And of course, you're getting, you know, her tone being dripping with sarcasm here.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. 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 Listen, there's like, I don't know how to, talk it in a way to.
Neither do I.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's been a while since we've, seen each other or really had a conversation this long even, and I'm sure stuff has happened with you and stuff's definitely happened with me, and so I just want to show you a part of myself, and then I will cast Fink and see and have her appear. So listening back, I realized that I think I was going back and forth on like a one being the best and a four being the worst. It like was, I kept flipping it.
I thought that's what it was. I thought it was like a one was normal and a four was horrible.
Okay, that is what it is. Forever and for always. So that's a two of a Fink appearance.
So what does a two look like?
Yeah, I think a two is maybe just like a kind of painfully average looking dog. Like, like not like coat is not done up, you know, like not clean, like just a kind of like very simple little Shiba Husky. So she appears. Yeah. So this is Fink.
Fink.
Yeah.
Fink with a, and then you see her kind of write out like question mark, like with a PH or an F.
How dare you?
she sort of kneels down like as much as she can in her dress and kind of pets Fink and is like, she's got her head angled down towards the dog, but the flowers kind of like rotate up so you can read. And it says, so you're the one Mithians in generations with spellcasting abilities, and your main achievement has been what, to conjure a mediocre dog?
Yeah, that's me. I'm a failure and disgrace. And I think Esther just like says that in a way that is said in such a casual manner that he's trying to like pawn it off as a joke.
She stands up and she looks at you in the eye. And she says, I do remember you like eye contact quite a bit. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Do you want me to go first or it's a small little?
You know what? Let's go out together.
Oh, bold. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, is the dog coming or?
Absolutely not. And I make Fink disappear.
Oh, God. Did you kill it?
No. No. Do you know what magic is?
Yes, I know what magic is. I don't know dog magic.
It's just magic. It's just magic.
Okay, so it's fine.
It's okay. Fine.
Okay. All right, let's go back out to the party then. And you head back out to the party.
Nice.
You know who we probably should have brought who would make this way more fun? Cabriel. Yeah.
Did somebody say Cabriel?
Oh my gosh, did we just summon him?
Yeah, if you say his name three times, Beetlejuice.
Oh god.
Cabriel finally drops the greater invisibility he's been holding.
Yeah. So the rest of you, are you, Nariah, are you still sort of like apart from the group or
if this has been going on simultaneously, after my little conversation with Lizzie, I would have just headed back to my party, eyebrows raised in like a girl, because I would like to rejoin and talk shit.
Hell yeah. So you rejoin, and around that same time, you see Esther emerge from the side coat room with a woman who you don't recognize. You can kind of assume must be a Mithians based on the golden hair and overall golden child vibes, and they are walking towards you.
Nariah, hi. Hi. Nariah, this is my sister, Liz. Liz, Nariah.
Hi, pleasure. Pleasure to meet you.
I give Esther like a little bit of a confused look because I'm like, he looks happy to be with her. She's part of the family. Do we hate this woman? Just like checking in, but I'm like very, like, hi.
You see that she shifts the leaves on her forehead to be sort of like a larger crown situation so y'all can read it, just like bigger font. And she sort of writes like, hi, I'm Liz. I'm the head of R&D and baby sister. Nice to meet you.
Wow, that's so cool. What you just did there.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I invented this because people are assholes and don't want to learn sign language.
Oh, well, it's really impressive.
Thank you. It's kind of my pride and joy. I am really into photo synergy.
Do you, if you don't mind, are you just thinking into this? This is awesome.
And are the plants real? I couldn't tell. It's so cool, but...
Oh, yeah. This is awesome. I never get to explain this to people who actually want to hear about it. Okay. So, she, like, clears the screen and,
shows us the blueprints.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you see, like, blueprints. Yeah, no, you're excitedly typing. Yeah. So, she says, okay, let's see. In order. Yes, I'm just thinking this. I hope that you aren't easily grossed out, but these, she kind of turns her head and moves a tendril of hair, and you see that the vines like go into her ear.
Sick. Wow.
And she's like, so this is like a part of me and my brain, and I'm kind of just I don't know, doing experiments on myself, I guess. Yep, so I'm just thinking it and also transmitting vibes to you. I wish I had a better way. I'm not good at coming up with names for things is the thing. I'm good at building things and designing things, but then someone else comes up with the names, so I don't have cool names for anything. But yeah, I'm able to sort of transmit like what I mean to you guys too, in addition to just words. Photo synergy? Okay, it's so cool. So basically, the technology originated as a way of really effectively collecting solar energy by way of plants, which are already collecting solar energy all the time, and figuring out via this fusion of arcane technology, how can we collect excess solar energy from the plants without harming them and without damaging the ecosystem, because obviously we don't want the world to end again. That was a bummer. So, you know, we figured that out. And then once we had this technology, which is essentially really, really, really tiny filaments of magical glass that kind of run through the plants in their veins. And once we had that, we kind of just had regular power for a long time. And then when I was little, I used to experiment with, well, if there's these little filaments and things, then maybe we can move them and control them, and then we can control the plants. And through that, I started doing my research in college on what now is referred to as photosynergy, or it existed before, but what we think of as now is that is the result of this arcane technology infiltrating the biology of the plants at a cellular level in a way that still doesn't harm them and doesn't harm the environment and fully biodegrades when the plant is separated from the roots, but is still functional and fully interweaved with the environment.
Kit casts back his mind to, like, when we're going through the city, we see trees and all this kind of thing. I don't know. I just want to know to what extent it really did seem like the quote-unquote natural ecosystem still. I can make, like, a nature check.
Can I give Kit the help action on that? Because I would love to druidcraft, maybe not the ones that are, like, in her screen, but you said she has like other ones in her hair and stuff. I want to see if I can like make one of them bloom, because I'm fascinated by the fact that there are plants and technology at the same time, mm-hmm. and how druidcraft might be impacted by that.
Sure.
Or impact that.
Okay.
So yeah, you can have advantage while I try and make this flower bloom.
With advantage, that is a nat 20 plus 5.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
We got one.
We got a good roll. So, Kit, yeah, as you've been making your observations through the city for the past week or so, you've noticed that, yeah, there are places where obviously, you know, a human city or a human habitat of any kind, let alone like a fairly large urban city, intruding upon a landscape is obviously going to make changes. And, you know, like the examples of like, you know, tree roots being sort of like flattened down to be roads, like it's the kind of thing where they're using what's there and they are modifying it to an extent. And so it's not totally natural, but you got the feeling just based on being like a guy who has read a lot of science books and experienced a lot of different biomes in your travels, that the ecosystem as a whole of this city was really intact. The animals, the trees, like the biodiversity of it all. It's not that nobody has ever cut down a tree here, but you got the distinct sense that whoever is doing that is doing it with the care of someone who knows exactly how many trees you can cut down before it becomes a problem.
Right. So it's like all of the birds, I shouldn't say birds, all of the
of the birds attack us.
I guess whatever animals, for instance, I would expect to like see in this region, I've like caught a glimpse of, for instance, something like that.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that like, I mean, it's obviously they're not probably like allowed into people's homes and stuff, but
right.
They're not, you know, winnowed away to such an extent that it's like a problem and causing massive ripple effect issues within the ecosystem.
Yeah, I guess I say to Liz, I'm really impressed and kind of amazed at the extent to which there's all this amazing arcane technology out there, but everything does seem intact. It doesn't seem like there's a catch, at least to my eye.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? The plants are just, they take to it really well. From what I understand, it's the kind of thing that never would have been possible without magic. I'm not taking away magic's role in it. I mean, obviously nothing like this existed in the old world, but the technological innovation, it's limitless, the things we can do. And I, for one, want to push it as far as it can go. Aveline, you wanted to druidcraft, right?
Yeah. Does it work?
Is it a cantrip?
It's just a cantrip. It's just a cantrip, yeah.
It does not work, but Liz says, whoa, take me to dinner first. And then
Aveline blushes.
Liz is like, I would be kind of a shitty artificer if I didn't protect my own bio enhancements against druidcraft cantrips, but here. And she plucks a flower out of a floral arrangement nearby and hands it to you and is like, try it on this one.
I try it on that one.
What do you try to do specifically to it?
I mean, if it's just like...
It's like a flower. I mean, it's... I don't know what kind of flower it is. We'll say it's a rose for maximum, like, drama.
Amazing. So the text of Druidcraft is you instantly make a flower blossom, a seed pod open, or a leaf bud bloom. So I'm imagining if it's just like a little rose that maybe it's in its kind of like rose emoji shape, you know, when they're more kind of upright and at the way that they are in floral arrangements. And I'd love to just make it like... bloom so it like opens wider.
Yeah, and you do just that, and as it opens wider you see sort of like a ripple of light kind of shimmer through the rose, but it otherwise looks very normal. It feels very normal to you and in like an arcane tactile way.
I think I hand it back over to Liz and say, can you make words on this now?
Sure, yeah. Let's see. And you see the screen on her head kind of fold in on itself and disappear. And then you see she thinks for a second and then she holds out her hand like palm down flat. And she puts the rose on top of it almost as though it's like not a ring, but like that, like where if it was a ring, that's where it would be, like just on top of her fingers balanced. And you see the tendons under her hand shift a tiny bit, and then you see vines poke out and attach themselves to the flower. And then the flower opens up kind of flat and the petals light up and you see, what's up?
I turn to Windswept and I'm like, should we leave? I feel like we should just go grab some more drinks or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for that. This is cool, right?
Okay. To Esther, your sister's very cool. We're just going to be by the drinks. Peel off.
Okay, great. I think Esther has been like standing in between Liz and Aveline this whole time. Just like quietly.
Aveline is having a moment because she's like... oh my god, it's Esther but girl version, and holy shit, clever magic, and also like just like druid brain kind of entirely like reorienting around this like new technology, and the fact that I felt the normal natural kind of arcane signature of this flower, and then Liz has like integrated it back into her network and sent a text with it is just
it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot basically.
It is hot.
So I think Aveline is just like very flushed and kind of standing there with their hand out like where they offered the rose, kind of just not, it takes a moment too long to like put their arm down.
There's kind of a moment of silence, and then you see that the screens on the petals of the rose start to dim, almost like I mean, I don't know if you would know this per se, but like to our us the players, it's like when like something's losing battery, like a Game Boy or something, starts to just like dim, and the flowers wilt a little bit, and you see Liz disconnect from it and kind of put it in her palm and hand it back out to you. You see the flower crown screen reform, and it says, sorry, once a plant has been disconnected from its roots, I can only connect with it for like a couple of seconds, but you get the idea.
Yeah, yeah, I do. This is fascinating. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
And then I take just like a larger, that you know when you're going to like take a sip of a drink and then you like tilt it to the wrong angle and you just get like a little bit too much in your mouth and you're just like...
Yeah.
Artificers are really cool.
I think that like Liz is just standing there watching and just like looking at Esther like, okay, we're at this party, this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
what are the rest of you up to? You stepped away.
I have dragged Winsmith off to drinks. Kit's welcome to, I think I've like done like a gesture of we're moving.
Yeah. And I think like as I'm going with you, I'm like going past Esther, I just like whispered to him real quick, like at like recalling the conversation we had like 10 years ago or whenever it was. Being like, why isn't she in charge? And then like I like walk off.
I think Esther rolls his eyes slightly to himself.
Aww.
Well, I'm gonna go get another drink. Could I get the two of you one?
Actually, I think it's probably time pretty soon for this announcement, so I might want to go and, you know, I want to get good seats in the front row. Also, they're probably going to invite me on stage, and it's going to suck, but it's going to be a little less bad if I don't have to, like, climb over a bunch of people in the aisles to get there, so
right.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Do you want me to save you, what, 6, 7 seats?
Sure, that'd be great.
I guess it would be 6 and then 7, including me. Gosh, you would think I wasn't an artificer. Anyway.
Okay, easy, Evelyn. That was... Cool.
I cast Pass Without Trace on myself and disappear.
More and more people, and not just Liss, appear to be kind of migrating towards this stage that's set up on not the corner of the far side of the room where Nariah had been eavesdropping, but the other one. They're kind of all migrating over there, and, you know, people are gathering. There's like a large double stair situation that is sort of being used as like a makeshift platform, and you can see that there's like microphones and stuff set up.
Well, if Aveline was still here, I would say let's go over to the stage area, and that's what I'm gonna do.
I don't think I actually used the spell slot.
Do you think anyone's going to be paying attention to us over there, or?
No. All the eyes will be on the stage, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go. I'm so curious what's about to happen.
Brex is going to lean into Nariah and go, so over under a giant worm's going to come out.
I don't think it's going to be a worm, because we've already done that. Some sort of, I don't know. I talked to the brunette, and she was weird.
Oh, the hot one?
She is hot. She's weird, though. You know, like in a Mean Girl.
That's not mutually exclusive. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at
yeah,
us.
Yeah, she's a mean girl. Well, yeah. I raise my glass. I give him a little cheers.
Yeah. All right, as you guys make your way over, you find your place in the front with Liss. And just as you arrive, you see Elysian and Eleanor and Uncle Enzo and a couple of folks that Esther, give me a history check.
Oh, wow.
A 3.
You feel like you've maybe seen these people before, but it's also possible that they're just rich and like have vibes that are like important. Okay. Liss leans over and is like, puts a little secret leaf in front of you, so like just you can see, and is just like, board members.
Okay.
And you see Eleanor kind of take the center and look down at the two of you and say, well, come on up. I mean, we want the whole board here. Let's go.
I like do a quick check in with Liss.
She just kind of rolls her eyes and is like,
yeah,
just like shrugs and
do
starts
a
going.
Tail and walk up onto the stage.
All right, so Eleanor takes the mic, and this is the first time the three of you have been sort of together in a really long time.
Yeah.
He's definitely the shortest one now. Mm-hmm. And he steps up to the mic, and he's like, well, now that my siblings are here, I think we are ready to begin. Thank you all so much for coming to the, God, I don't even know, what is this now, like the 40th annual? No, that would be crazy, because if it was a really round year like that, we would have done something really big. And everybody laughs, like, oh. And then Elysian, like, is kind of annoyed and, like, whispers in his ear. And he's like, okay, so it's the 39th. Next year, we'll do it up. This year, though, we're going to be a little bit more conservative. And rather than having some kind of extravagant party, we're keeping it small. And we want to focus on the exciting announcement that we have to make here today. We've been working really, really hard, and we've been thinking really hard, too, about what's the future of Skylark and of Miffian's Family Industries. And what we've come to realize is that, yes, this city is our family, but if we stay isolated and exclude the rest of the world, then what kind of family is that that isn't ready to welcome new folks in? And with that in mind, we want to announce that we are making our first ever acquisition outside of the borders of Skylark, and are proud and thrilled to announce that Miffian's Family Industries has acquired St. Simone's Adventuring Guild in Dawnlight. And that's where we will end our session.
What the fuck?
Fuck you! No!
What the fuck?
No!
There it is.
You know when you were like, I don't want to be the boss of the fucking adventuring...
Well, it's not you. It's your shithead older brother.
Yeah. Guy pissed the bed till he was 8.
I mean, the guild did need money.
Interesting.
Fuck this.